Welcome to the Growing Leaders Podcast. We are so excited that you have decided to join us today. With me, as always, is Tim Elmore, the president of Growing Leaders. My name is Andrew McPeak, and we're really excited about the show we have today. Today, our special guest is none other than Gene Smith, the athletic director of Ohio State University. We're excited about this conversation today, but we're also excited about what this conversation will mean for us later on. So I'm going to let Tim go ahead and get started, and we'll come back and talk about how you can engage with Gene later on in 2016.
Gene, we are very honored. I mean that. We're honored to have you on the phone. You're a very busy man. We've talked before, but I've just looked at your resume and seen how many things you're involved in, not only just leading as the director of athletics and at Ohio State, but being a VP there and then on 14 billion boards, it seems like. So thank you, Gene, for taking some time to talk here.
Oh, Tim, it's an honor. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, just for our listeners to know, Gene Smith has been around Ohio. This is his 11th year at Ohio State, but has served as an AD at other schools, great schools. And you served not only as the director of athletics, but also the vice president, which we'll get into in just a minute. So that takes you into a leadership role even beyond athletics there. But Gene, let's begin in the beginning. Your alma mater was Notre Dame, a stellar institution that you played before. We just talked about that. You played football there, won a championship there. Talk a little bit about those days and just reminisce with us. It had to be fun to win there back in college.
Oh, it was great. My college experience couldn't have been better. You know, my entire 4 years I stayed on campus, got my degree in business administration, and I started out with two roommates and ended up with three, and we were the best of friends. Huh. And I had a chance to play on some great teams. Our freshman year, we won the championship in 73, beating Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, and it was just a remarkable experience. And then I was fortunate enough to be on some good teams after that, and I coached there for 4 years. And my first year coaching, we won the national championship again in 77.
That's awesome.
Beat Texas in the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, they were just great experiences. I learned so much about relationships and so many different things. So I just enjoyed it tremendously.
That's neat. Well, it had to be. I know it was hard work, but it just had to be fun to see both as a coach and as a player doing as much as you could possibly do in that sport. So,
I was shocked that I was blessed to accomplish that.
Yeah. This is off the record, but I'd love to hear, you were an athlete now 35 to 40 years ago. I hope that's okay to say that on the air.
That's right.
And so, but you see athletics every day. What are some of the biggest differences that you see between when you played back in the day and now being a college athlete?
Well, the athleticism is at a different level. The kids are faster, stronger. They're just more talented and gifted athletically. The personalities of the young people are coming to us differently, as you well know. And we have to be able to adjust to those personalities and all the different characteristics of the individual and the time demand. That student athletes have on them is just so different. So there's a number of other things, but those would probably be the three things that's at the top of the pyramid relative to changes.
That makes sense. When I talk to intercollegiate athletes today, they often say with a smile on their face, I'm going to school full-time, and it's like having a full-time job on top of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Practices and matches. So my hat's off to them. It's a very challenging day to be an athlete because so much is on them to perform. That's crazy.
Yeah, but they learn a lot too.
No doubt about it.
Our young people that you're positioning yourself for, you know, the opportunity to work in a great corporate environment. Mm-hmm. If you're not blessed to go professional, you'll have a chance to understand work ethic like most students don't understand it. And so there's life lessons that they're experiencing while they go through it.
Well, it's true. In fact, I know you have said before, because I've heard you say it, that you really believe that athletics provides a platform for success later. I don't know if you want to elaborate anymore.
No question. It absolutely does.
Yeah.
You know, you take young people and you put them in the group dynamics where you have people from all walks of life, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different religions, people from urban and rural backgrounds, and different ethnicities, and just differences, and they learn to work with people from all walks of life. And then you ultimately, you're asking them to come together and strive towards the ultimate definition of team. Set aside all your differences and strive towards one common goal, and that's to overcome your opponent. When you go into the corporate world, that it is that way. I worked at IBM, it was that way.
Absolutely.
And so you're learning some unreal lessons, work ethic. And you actually, it's interesting that more and more young people are understanding that they're strengthening their emotional intelligence, which is a critical element to survive today. And so they learn a lot of different things.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, I'd love for you to take a minute and talk about your specific responsibilities at Ohio State, at the Ohio State University. Talk about those two roles you play.
Well, as athletic director, we have 36 sports, 1,000 athletes, and a little south of 400 employees. We have a $170 million budget where we everything is externally derived. We're totally self-supporting. And so we're I'm fortunate to oversee, frankly, a small business. Some would say medium-sized business.
Yes.
You know, balancing the business part in higher education and making sure we stay focused on that. And our Buckeye Nation, our supporters, is vast and deep, and so we have a responsibility to make sure that we create an environment for our student athletes to be successful academically, athletically, and socially.
Yeah.
And as a vice president, I was charged with that responsibility a couple years ago. I took over some entities that are self-supporting entities that were struggling, and Gordon Gee was asked me to take them over and see if I could make them profitable, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done a good job with a couple of them. We have two that are on a good trajectory. And then I also serve on the president's cabinet. So I'm an advisor on his leadership team. So I'm blessed. You know, I don't know if that's talent, skill, or old age, one or the other.
No, that's awesome. Well, when I have been up to see you all in Columbus, Ohio, I told you already, I've been so impressed with the athletes up there, their maturity. The coaches, when I've gotten in front of the coaches, I feel like I'm in front of, and this is going to sound cheesy, but very caring adults. It's been amazing. In fact, one of my conversations with your swim coach, I remember reminiscing about Coach Mack Brown at Texas saying, I put my paycheck in the mouth of a 19-year-old and he runs around with it every Saturday. You know, I'm thinking,
that's true. Running up and down the field.
That's right. Hoping to God he doesn't lose it, you know?
So that's true.
It's so fun.
Well, we're going to have you back, that's for sure.
Well, thank you. I loved coming up there. Now, Ohio State University has been called the most comprehensive athletic program in the U.S. Now, maybe you didn't say that, but it's been said. Why would that be said? Talk about some of the dimensions that maybe differentiate you from perhaps other athletic departments across the country.
Well, we're extremely large. We're 36 sports and 1,000 athletes, like Stanford. There's no one close to Stanford in the FBS system, so we're strong that way. We're totally integrated into the institution. Structurally and behaviorally, meaning our academic support system is in the provost office. Our compliance office is in legal affairs. Our athletic trainers and our physicians, all of them are part of the hospital. So structurally, we're totally integrated, and I'm blessed to have leaders in all of those divisions and others. Our financial affairs reports up through our CFO's office. So and then we're able to, because of the resources that we're able to generate, primarily through football and basketball, to implement programs that many schools can't afford to do. We have a study abroad program that we're actually going to expand next summer. Now we send about 15 athletes overseas. Next year we'll send 30. We have an internship program where we fund internships within the athletic department in different parts of campus. Where last year we had 26. Next year we're going to be north of 40. We just have so many programs that are our life skills programs that really we can do differently because of the financial support that we receive from Buckeye Nation. And it's just worked so well for us. So we're very comprehensive in how we look at developing our student athletes. Every freshman has to have a bank account when they come in. Every sophomore has to have a resume. And then they go through mock interviews to get them ready for their junior year, where we tell them at that point in time, they need to try and make a decision what they want to do before their senior year, what they want to do so they can begin to get into the job searches. And we do so many different things for them. We had 41 student athletes graduate this past weekend, and
wow.
10 of them are still trying to find employment. The others have jobs or they're going to grad school. Actually, three of the 10 are taking a year off. They're going to find themselves. That hasn't changed them since the 70s. So we have seven that we're helping to ultimately get jobs. And that's the end game.
Yeah,
that is the
absolutely.
End game.
Yeah. Well, it's been said so many times, you know, the public school system in America was at first, in the very beginning, called the normal school. Because it was to prepare kids for the norms of society. And it sounds like that's still
that's
your
right.
aim. Let's get them ready
that
for
it. That is it. It hasn't changed. After. Hasn't changed.
That's neat. Well, my next question you really started to answer. I don't know if you want to add to it, but I'd love for you to drill down a little bit deeper for a coach that might be listening, a teacher that might be listening. How does athletics specifically provide a platform for success? You've touched on something. I don't know if you want to go deeper, but I think there's some very specific things, particularly when there's a director of athletics like you that says, this is our goal. Athletics,
well, I'll tell you specifically, you know, when I first came here, we had the old model around academic support. And you take your team and you put them in a room and say, okay, from 7 to 9, this is study hall. Open your books and study. And that's the old model.
Yeah.
And I was blessed to have a vice provost here who was willing to work with me so I could move our total academic support system into the provost's office, because I want to develop an individualized approach. I want an individual plan for every single student athlete, because they're all different. They have different academic capabilities, and they have different social issues.
Yeah.
People are coming from different backgrounds. So athletics is a place where you have your athletes surrounded by a coach, a head coach, a position coach, an academic advisor, a strength coach, a trainer, an equipment manager, an athletic administrator. They're surrounded by so many people that can touch them. We actually got our grades came in, and I was at football practice this morning. We have a freshman whose predictors were not that high. We thought they thought it would be difficult for him to matriculate in. So we had a special plan for him, a mitigation plan. And the grades came back in. I was at practice. Our academic advisor walked in. I went through the grades with him, and I saw his grades. And the academic advisor, she looked at me like she had tears in her eyes.
Wow.
So I waited to the end of practice and went over to him. I gave him a hug and congratulated him on his academic performance. And he hadn't seen his grades yet. He said, are my grades in? I said, yeah, they're in. I want to congratulate you. He said, well, where are they? Where are they? They're right over there. And you know, that's what you have to do. You have to find a way to personalize the relationship and focus on them individually and help them grow. And I'm a product of that. When I was in school, that's what Mr. DeChico did for me. And I'm doing it here. I think it's so important to do that.
Well, and this has been said many, many times, but you do have a vast array of you know, students that come in. One student might come from great means, upper middle class, maybe upper class, playing golf or tennis or whatever. And then you might have a student athlete that has a mama at home and that's it. And she's working two jobs. And they just didn't have the advantages to even think right, perhaps. And now here they are in this higher ed institution that wants them to, you know. So my hat's off to you to say, let's create a plan, a path for every individual here to make it and become the best version of themselves. That's good.
Well, thank you. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to get into another handful of questions that are really the nitty-gritty of why we do these podcasts. I know enough about you, Gene, that you are a student of leadership. You are a leader. That's why you're getting asked to be on so many boards and asked to do so many things on that campus up there. But I'd like you to talk about, when did the leadership light bulb go on for you as a young man in your career?
Actually, it was when I first started coaching. My senior year, I was applying to jobs, getting ready to go interview, and my head coach at that time, Dan Devine, asked me if I would be interested in being a graduate assistant. And you know, after asking what that was, I said, sure. And so I became a graduate assistant, and he put me in charge of special teams. And at that point in time, we had junior varsity, so I was the head junior varsity coach.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know what I was doing, and I had a friend, Rick Slager, who I'd played with. He also became a graduate assistant, so we pretty much ran it. And over time, I realized why he asked me to stay. I was never a great player. I was a backup player. I played special teams. But I was kind of one of those locker room guys. I kind of held things together, and I didn't know at the time that I was doing it, but, you know, when guys complained or when there were issues, I was that guy that was always trying to steer things the right way, or I'd go to coaches and talk to them about issues. And he recognized that and asked me to stay on. And so when I got into coaching and started leading young men, particularly when we dropped junior varsity and I became the special teams coach for the varsity, and on the big stage, that was when it really hit me that I had the ability to inspire and motivate. And I think the other thing was that was early for me, and this came from my dad, was early for me. I was always honest, forthright, clear, and concise. I never was a gray area guy. Yeah, I told people what I thought and what I felt, and then moved on from it. My dad taught me that at an early age. And so I didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
But as I began to coach that my second year, it came to me.
That's interesting. Well, and this is in many ways, your story is much like mine. It was right when I began my career that I became very much a student of leadership. Now, I had the undeserved privilege of working under Dr. John C. Maxwell at 23 years old.
Yeah.
So I got bit by the leadership bug very rapidly, but I saw...
Oh, and he's one of the best writers of all time.
Yeah. But it's such a differentiator. If you're a nurse, you're a better nurse thinking like a leader.
Right.
If you're a business person, you're a better business. So I began to see that. And of course, that's why I do what I do. I think we can really bring out the best in students when we help them just think like leaders.
Oh, so, no question about it.
And I know you're doing that up there. So would you, this will be fun for our listeners. What are just some of the top of mind top leadership insights that you try to just live by, walk by, pass on as a leader today? What would you say might be some of your favorite leadership insights?
Establish trust. Mm. You know, it is so important to make sure that you walk the walk and you behave in a way that people trust you.
Yeah.
And that's huge for me. People are it. I think sometimes we make it really hard. We make leadership hard, but you're leading people.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure that you establish trust. And then from there, you end up establishing respect. And when you treat people well, and you're always, for me, always positive and outgoing and honest and forthright, people tend to really relate to you.
Yeah.
And so I'm one of those people that the ushers, the ticket takers, every person I pass, I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
And I'm paying attention to them. So I tell all our young people who aspire towards success, the easiest thing in the world is to be nice. It's just to be nice.
Huh.
And you know, if you're in a bad mood, separate yourself, find a way to find a little trigger to get you out of that mood. But it's so easy to say hello, so easy to say
absolutely.
Hi.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you got to connect with people. That's probably, I'm an idiot on that one, Tim. you just got to connect with people. It's that people care how you treat them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, and you know, I've taught on this many, many times. That's something we're probably going to have to be more intentional about cultivating in the emerging generation that may have grown up looking at a phone instead of in the eyes of the person in front of them.
I was sitting with some students yesterday after commencement, and we were talking about that, and I leaned up to him and I said, understand this one thing. And when you guys are on your little phones and you're texting one another, that means you're not paying attention to me. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, here's an old quote. I said, I don't even know who said it. People will forget what you did or said, but they will never forget how you make them feel.
Yep.
And when you do that, you're isolating me.
Yeah.
So I check out.
Yeah.
And so we had a great conversation about that. But that's something we need to work on with our young people as they come through here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, we've talked in the past, just little bits and pieces here and there, about the paramount importance of culture in an organization, whether it's an athletic department, a business, you name it. I'd love for you just to talk for a few minutes about the power of culture and just how that plays out at Ohio State University.
Well, you know, you have to make sure that everyone is aligned with your values. And we went through a process after I came here in 06, I came in 05, but took my first, year of trying to learn and understand. And then in 06, I put together a little task force to take that dusted up strategic plan on the shelf and rebuild it. And we started with values. And I remember we had 21 words that task force did. And I told them, I want this to be inclusive all the way throughout the department. And we went through a process for about a month just to get down to our six values. Yeah. And so everyone would be in a line. And I remember we had an all staff meeting to make sure everybody was aligned and everybody was, it was unanimous on our six. And so there, from there, you develop your strategies and tactics. Yeah. But I, as the leader, have to make sure that we, those values are never forgotten, that we live it, that we breathe it. Integrity is the highest one we have. And so our decision making has to be, and how we walk and act and behave, integrity has to be everything we do. And when we get into decision making, it's always about right. I'll sometimes say, hey, take the face off of this issue. Take the face off of this issue. Yeah. What's the right thing to do?
Yes.
And so you have to live your values. And when you do that consistently over time, the culture is that way.
Yeah.
And, it's about making sure you have an environment of accountability. One more thing I'll say is I came here, we didn't have quantifiable goals and objectives. And people were not evaluated. So we set up a personnel performance plan and taught people how to accept goals, taught people how to make goals, taught people how to evaluate, taught people how to be candid, which is one of the most difficult things there is to be honest with people when people take it the right way. And so we set up an entire accountability system within the department, and it's worked well. So and people love it, because they know, hey, this is what I'm going to be held accountable for. This is what I'm going to be evaluated for. If people go to work to get paid now, let's
That's
be
right.
clear.
Yes.
So this is how they're going to be rewarded. And so, it's so many different things that you have to do, but to create that culture. But first and foremost, you got to hire character, and hopefully you don't make a mistake, but everybody's got to be on the same page with your values.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, in many ways, you're saying what my good friend Tim Tisopoulos says. He is an executive at Chick-fil-A, and he says you got to hire the culture you want. So
that's the best way to do it.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, absolutely.
If you can do that. In fact, when I interview people, and particularly coaches, they just 99% of the times their jaws drop because my first question to them, what's your top four values in life? What's important to you? Mm-hmm. I rarely ever talk about X's and O's.
Yeah.
Because I want to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to provide you an opportunity to talk to me and get to know me.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking to establish a connectedness so I can determine if you actually fit who we are.
Right.
And it's amazing. I get emails or cards back and from people after their interview saying I was never asked that question so bluntly. You're right. He's right. You just got to be that way.
Yeah.
It's important.
Absolutely. All right, so I've got one more question for you. We are very honored, Gene, that you're going to be joining us at our National Leadership Forum in 2016, June 23 and 24, 2016, in Atlanta, Georgia. And our theme really is leaders at every level. We're talking about building this culture of leadership. I'd love for you just to get real practical. What are you doing to develop leaders there within the athletic department? That would be coaches, staff, students. You're doing some very tangible things, and we're honored to play a little part of that. But talk about what you're doing there.
Well, first of all, you have to have your leadership team, and that's my top senior associates, mm-hmm. and to actually be able to know the people within our organizational structure. We have professional development programs for our head coaches, different professional development programs for our assistant coaches. We have professional development programs for our staff. And we're diverse in experience and age, so we have some different ones based upon if you're a young entry-level employee, because we're really teaching you the basics. And so we have different programs, and we'll probably have 2 to 3 programs a month across all those spectrums. And but most importantly, with my team that I'm blessed to work with, we got to know our people. We need to know if Jordan Berkmeyer in development aspires to do more than what he's doing. We need to know if Tyler Jones, who is in marketing, if he aspires to do something else. And then for every one of them, just like our student athletes, we have to have an individual plan to help them achieve their goal.
That's good.
When we do our evaluations in the summertime, one thing is to evaluate you about how you did relative to your goals and objectives and what your goals and objectives are for next year. But the most important part of the conversation is what can we do to help you get better, and what can we do to help you achieve your professional goals? So we spend a lot of time. I could just go through the names of everybody in our department that, for whatever idiot reason, thinks they want to be an athletic director. So
you probably try to talk them out of it.
We have sessions for them. Yeah, I try to talk them out of it. But that's the way to do it, Tim. Is you have to know the people.
Yeah.
You have to work with them, and you have to set up a strategy for them to get to where they want to be professionally. Mm-hmm. And so we're very purposeful. About that. And that contributes to the culture. That
Absolutely.
Contributes when people know that you're going to invest mm-hmm. The time and the resources to help them get to where they want to be. They're going to differentiate themselves in the work environment.
Yeah, I believe it. In fact, we've seen that on a smaller scale here at Growing Leaders, and I definitely see that up there with you. Well, this is going to be our big topic in June, and I'm really looking forward to having even more time. And then you just fielding questions from our audience on these questions. But
oh, I can't wait for that. I love that part.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's very fun and very dynamic. June 23 and 24, 2016. Gene Smith, thank you, my friend, for taking some time and just sharing your insights. Really appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you, Tim. I'm looking forward to the conference.
You bet. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Tim. Thanks, Gene Smith, again for being with us on this podcast. We would love for you to continue interacting with Gene, and we have the perfect opportunity for you to do just that. So this summer, June 2016, Gene Smith is going to be one of our keynote speakers at our annual National Leadership Forum. So please go online to growingleaders.com, check out our information about the National Leadership Forum, and there you can sign up to be a part of that. We know a lot of you out there are really interested in what Gene had to say, and so we'd love to give you an opportunity to interact with him. Again, that's growingleaders.com. You can find out more about our National Leadership Forum. Thank you so much again for joining us in this conversation. I hope you learned a lot and got a lot out of it. We look forward to seeing you next time.